Mighty Gani, everyone. This is Professor Amin-Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University of Long Beach, Africana Studies Department. Want to welcome you here to the Conscious Corner, where we have a very, very important guest today. We're going to be speaking about AI, artificial intelligence. And that's very important. And this brother is deep into it. We call him Brother Hood. He's a longtime educator at the Compton Unified School District, where he taught computer science to the kids and young people, but he perfected it on himself with his independent studies and technical development and the understanding of the computer and its total operation, including AI. And at the same time, he's one of the revolutionary conscious brothers, and we need them in this field. This is a very important field, as my son talked the last time he was here. AI is already here, and we have to learn how to use it to our advantage. So first of all, we want to welcome you here again and to our show, Conscious Corner, where we discuss actual facts about Blacks and where we deal with deep, deep questions and discussions on our history, our culture, and our achievements and our struggles. So at the same time, we want to welcome you here. And we're going to let Brother Hood, who was a good brother, you know, taught at Centennial, taught at Willowbrook Special Schools, where they prepare kids to go to college. And at the same time, he's from the hood. And that's why we call him Brother Hood. So Brother Hood, take it over and do your thing.
Thanks, Professor Ra. Peace and blessing to everybody on this call and everybody who will check the call out later on YouTube. And also I wanted to definitely thank you guys, and it's an honor to be able to present this information again. I think 2 years ago I did do some updates on artificial intelligence. And also just to give you guys some insight on some of the current things I'm doing, I just recently finished teaching a workshop on app development to LA Community College District. So I taught to the professors who teach adult education, dealing with how to make apps on the Swift Apple platform. So that's one of the things that I'm starting to do as a freelance, and just give people insights on how to use some of these mobile apps and some of the developments that are happening. So I'm definitely excited today to be able to share this valuable information. And so without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and get started. So what I wanted to do first is just to kind of lay the groundwork of what I'm talking about today is do like an icebreaker. And so we can do it informally. I'm going to go ahead and just kind of talk to you about it. It's called, you've heard of Truth or Dare, but this is like scroll truth and dare data. Okay, data dare. That's what we're doing today. So what I'm talking about is basically what you want to do is take 60 seconds. Take 60 seconds and look through your feed on your phone and just look through it. I'm talking about if it's YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, whatever it is that you normally look through in your feed, and give yourself a few minutes or give yourself 60 seconds. And so as you're scrolling through, and you can do this with your kids as well, and ask yourself, what is the weirdest video you just saw right now? Okay, what is it? And what's the goal there? Something called a filter bubble. Some of you may have heard some of these terms, but I'm going to definitely go deep to share with you what I wanted to emphasize in this presentation. The next one is, did your feed show you anything that you didn't search for, but you kept watching it anyway? Okay, that's called passive influence. The next question is, what content do you always stop to watch, even if it's a waste of your time? That's called an addictive loop. What's one type of content you wish you saw less of? This is called highlight algorithm bias. Okay, we all know what the word bias means, but now I'm gonna show you and tell you exactly how this works when you're dealing with some of these mobile apps, some of these things on your devices. And the last one, what would your feed say about you to a stranger? Okay. And the thing here is self-reflection through an AI lens. That's what we need to think about. What does your feed say about you? Now, the data there, what am I talking about, data there? Pick one number. Pick a number from 1 to 6. Okay? Now, if you want to do this with your kid or if you're a caretaker of youth, this is a great exercise to do, just to get them thinking about what's really happening on their devices that they spend so much time on. Okay? So the first thing, say you pick one. First thing you want to do, and I want you guys to do this, some of you, if you're able to do this right now, just think about it. Go through, if you pick number one, check your screen time for yesterday. Share your top two apps. Number two, estimate how many shorts or TikToks do you watch in a day? Truthfully. Delete one algorithmically recommended video that you know wasted your time. Just delete it. The next one, if you choose number four, name one topic that you never asked to see, but you get recommended this daily. Like every day you see this topic, you keep trying to get rid of it. Okay. If you chose number four, or if maybe you have one you want to share. Number five, set a 15-minute app limit on one social app for the next 24 hours and see what happens. Number six, find the oldest saved video on your phone and say why you saved it. So, with those six, if there's anyone here who would like to share or just give me some insight on that, we can continue. I just wanted to start it off like this, just to give you guys an idea of where we're kind of going with this.
Brotherhood
Yes.
on number six. Well, I got some old videos that I didn't save because I always post them.
Okay.
So the oldest one probably go back years. At least I won't go all the way back, but I'll go back to those one I remember. Probably 2015.
Okay. Okay, 2015. Okay, so if you're a younger person, you really should also delete those old videos because you never know, you may be a different person. So that's why I wanted to do this exercise to just give everybody a groundwork of where I'm going with this topic. And so my topic is kind of going into the generative AI and what's happening with AI companionship risk, privacy, mental health, and something called artificial intimacy. Artificial intimacy. Okay. And so this is a summary, an overview of what you must know. So these industries are driving the growth, but what it is when you're dealing with the youth and you're dealing with kids from Gen Z or Gen Alpha, you're talking about a child's well-being. And that's kind of what's driving these apps. You know, it's deeply tied to their social circle. Every therapist knows why it's important to work with families, not just the children, to spot trouble before it's too late. But with an AI chatbot, on the other hand, you can't really see the bigger picture. Okay, they respond to words on the screen, blind to what's happening beyond the conversation. And the danger is real. And recently, a couple of years ago, one of the things that I noticed is about a mother who filed a lawsuit against an AI app after her son died by suicide following a chatbot exchange. He was struggling with some mental health stuff and actually committed suicide. So these bots can miss the warning signs. Now, what happened after that? The lawsuit named both this app company called Character AI and Google, which holds a licensing agreement with Character AI's founders as a defendant. So in May of this year, just last month, a judge in Florida ruled that the case can proceed, rejecting the company's defense that chatbots output is protected under the First Amendment. This is one of the first cases to challenge an AI company's responsibility towards minors and potential psychological harm. And that's what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to show you exactly how using cognitive science, psychology to actually make these apps more addictive and how it's actually happening. So what's been happening right now with this case? Because it really is a groundbreaking case. There was a judge that ruled that the law it can be moved forward. The lawsuit can move forward. They rejected the character ID and the corporation's motion to dismiss it because it's not protected. And so this case is proceeding under the claims as negligent, wrongful death, product liability, or fa and failure to warn. So think about it. What has happened then? So this is something that happened last February. And so then last February, there was no type of moderation or block list in place for this type of app. No separate controls for teenagers or a single model across all the age groups. So anybody who used this app, you're actually, seeing different content that may be harmful. So now, a year later, here we go. We got a dedicated model, which is a way of building the app to separate content for people who are under 18 with stricter filters, especially romantic conversations, things like this, and also a parental insight on the controls. So there's something called Launch of Career Insight, a parental insights to monitor the child's interactions. So what does that mean? What that means is that they've implemented improvements targeting teen safety, also to detect harm, suicidal ideation that trigger interventions and direct users to help and things like that. But you got to understand, this is called containment and transparency. Ongoing discovery may reveal internal safety protocols, training data, making processes. There is product liability. Okay, if the product holds, if this court holds and says that this chatbot may face higher standards, then we're really looking at warnings. Think about a warning on your app, like a nutrition label, because of the type of AI that's on it. And so what is this doing? This is causing the case is setting a precedent for companies to be scrutinized, and new laws and safety standards for AI regarding minors may follow. So this is what's happening currently. And so with this slide, what I wanted to do is really take a deep dive into some of the most popular apps among tweens. And if you don't know what a tween is 0 to 12, and then you have the Gen Z, which is another age group. But look at this. Character AI, you can see the controls. It says 13 and up officially, but often used by tweens without supervision. You have something called Replica, AI chatbots for friendship. Chai, 17 and over. Okay, not safe. Soulful AI, similar to Character AI, offers customizable characters with text-based chat. Now, the reason I'm really going in is because in my practice as a teacher, I've seen students use some of these apps, and I've actually had conversations with them about how the app makes them feel, some of the things that they've done, and how much time they actually spend on it. And these are some really serious algorithms that are really causing different types of addictive behavior. So if you don't know what apps your child is on, it can cause problems. And I do have a couple of news clippings I want to show, but some of these apps, as you can see, Anima AI, Cleverbot, Wiser for Kids. You have apps that are geared towards mental health, emotional support. Now, there are some apps that will give you that, but you got to understand what are the limits and what are the controls that can cause problems. And so, what are the trends? Well, the trend is something called artificial intimacy, where you really have a kid who's undeveloped and being manipulated by some of these algorithms. Okay. And artificial intimacy introduces the psychological concept of trending. That's trending in academic and media circles. Okay, so when the AI listens but doesn't understand the hidden dangers. And so part of my thing here is today is just to understand the analysis of user behavior, the privacy that you're doing, that you're giving up, the impact on students' interests, and even young adults, the social behavior. I mean, we've seen TikTok. I mean, we see our family members, relatives, people, family, all on these apps and all on these devices. But now there's some type of integration that's happening, the proliferation of AI apps and APIs and open source projects that allow you to really fine tune what you're doing with these apps. Now, before I go into retail, does anybody have anything they want to share, or maybe a personal experience that they've witnessed on some of these types of apps?
Brotherhood,
Yes.
could you give us a short definition of AI and why it's important for us to become aware of its risk to mental health
Yeah, definitely.
and all that? Because I know I'm a dinosaur when it comes to it, and half the terms you're talking about is like being a 2-year-old trying to understand algebra.
Right.
Bring me up to date on the computer science thing,
Okay.
because it ain't about asking Siri to help me. I don't know. I get lost.
Right, yeah, definitely. It's definitely a higher level of understanding when you're talking about AI, but there's AI is kind of a catch term, artificial intelligence. But what it is imagine the AI keeping an index of everything that you do on your device, like browsing habits, how long you stay on the app, your location, everywhere you go, everything you buy, all the consumption you have on your phone and your search engine, your search history, and then influencing your behavior and how it targets you. Okay, like showing you ads, showing you videos, showing you content, and basically setting up a growth in experience-based spending based on how you feel with your app. You're going to spend this or that depending on what they fed you in your algorithm. So if you're sitting there browsing your app and you're looking at certain things, then everything that you do on that is being basically indexed, targeted, and refed to you to keep you on your phone, on your device, and causing addictive behavior. And so it's basically misinformation. We got to understand that. AI in elections, climate technology, AI in education, where you have adaptive learning systems. You have apps that can basically give you an assessment with no teacher involved and then actually, generate questions based on how you answer, all with a program. And so you can align an AI app to be very exploitive depending on how you want it to do. And a lot of this stuff with entertainment, that's what's happening. We have apps that are actually doing more than just search. Apps that are actually getting a profile of you and actually giving you certain content that maybe you shouldn't have. And so when you talk about AI, it's kind of a catch term. But what I'm talking about now is generative AI. Based on your own individual experience on your device, you may get fed something differently than somebody else. Does that help? All right. This next slide I want to talk about is artificial intelligence with the Apple platform. It's a little bit different. And I wanted to kind of go into it with a little clip. I want to pause this real quick. And before I go into this with Apple, I wanted to show you guys a couple of news clippings. One recently that's been talked about. And what it is, it's basically something that's going on with the apps that not a lot of people are really talking about. And it's really something current. It's not really like the same old Siri. They're trying to make Siri a little bit more powerful with App Intents. But let's look at it. Let me show you what I'm talking about here. Bear with me 1 second here. Oh, let me skip that. All right, here it is right here.
But we're not able to hear that.
Oh, you're not able to hear it? Okay.
No, you got to share the sound.
All right, let me do it again. All right, let me start. Let me do that. Let me reshare it. Hold on a second here. All right, let me start over. There we go.
With a growing concern about children interacting with social bots that are powered by artificial intelligence.
Attorney General Phil Weiser issuing a consumer alert in response to the growing number of reports of children's interactions leading to risky behavior and even self-harm. Fox 21's Aaliyah Sims spoke to experts, and she's joining us tonight with the warning. Aaliyah?
Yeah, Christine, from AI relationships to mental health, the teens are really turning to AI. And parents, if they are not aware of what their children are doing, it can really lead to some real harm.
AI is, it's everywhere, in music, in video, in film.
Jackson Wilhoyt is no stranger to AI-powered chatbots.
It's like almost you're talking to a person. And, you know, I think once you kind of spend enough time with that, you can kind of get lost in that kind of illusion.
It's that illusion that prompted Attorney General Phil Weiser to issue a consumer alert warning parents of the dangers.
Everyone is susceptible to this, especially when we become complacent, when we doom scroll, when we go on and on and on social media.
Nikhil Krishnaswamy is a technical expert that works as an assistant professor of computer science at CSU. He explains what AI-powered chatbots are.
They're machines that are capable of having extended conversations with you, right? There's no person behind this machine typing responses to you. The way that they behave creates the impression that they actually have thoughts and can reason, and that maybe even they have feelings. And so people will tend to develop attachments to these.
That's what experts are concerned about when it comes to children and teens.
And we have particularly minors who are interacting with these machines. You don't know, one, what the machine is going to say, and then you also don't know how a minor is going to react.
Experts warn AI chatbots can generate disturbing content, including violence, explicit sexuality, self-harm, and eating disorders.
Parents need to be, understanding this is how this machine works, and need to be able to talk to their children about that, and kind of be aware of the general types of content that they might be exposed to in interaction with these AI systems.
And here are some tips experts are giving to parents tonight to familiarize themselves with social AI chatbots. They can turn age inappropriate. They can become addictive while also generating inaccurate or biased information. Now, your child's information can be shared with the platform's developer, creating privacy concerns. And it's also important to teach children that the chatbots are not human. And if you believe social AI chatbot companies are violating the law, you can file a complaint with the Colorado Attorney General's office. We have all that information for you on our website at KDVR.com. Reporting live here at the.
All right. So, yeah, that's the first clip that I had. Any thoughts on that one? Can you guys hear me?
It's all about the money, capitalism,
yes,
as usual. And they'll exploit a child and anybody else to get that cash. And that's not anything new. They've always worked on the children to get to the parents' pocketbook. So, this is something that's just a new medium.
Yes, yes, definitely. It definitely is a new medium. Speaking of new mediums, that's what leads me to this slide. I want to talk about Apple intelligence, because one of the things I just finished doing a workshop on the Apple platform. I'm a member of the Apple CEI initiative that they had several years ago, where we were learning about the Apple ecosystem. And I'm looking at how to use their software to make things, okay? And so, because I teach AP Computer Science Principles, and one of the things that I noticed is it seemed like Apple was a little bit behind. And now what they're doing is they've changed their ecosystem to something called Apple Intelligence, but it's just making it to where your phone is going to be like a Super Siri, where it'll be able to, have on-device AI. It's not sending your stuff to ChatGPT or anything, but you can actually create apps that will have your device really understand every context, visual, your camera, everything. And so these assistants have been slowly coming. In this timeline, you see back in October, they started with iOS 18, and then March, they had iOS 18.4. But now here we are in June 2025. They just launched something called iOS 26. Which is liquid glass. It's a user interface, but they have something called a foundational model API. That's an application interface that allows any developer who has access to their platform and all the tools that you can build an AI that totally works just on the device. And it doesn't exchange any information. And it doesn't matter what type of device they have on the ecosystem. So your phone could be talking to your TV, or it could be talking to your iPad or your watch. So everything is synced and using AI to do those things to integrate. So it's called an app intent. And this is kind of the slide that I wanted to show, because if you look on the left side of the slide, this is Apple. And then the one on the right is Google Project Astra, which is a new project where the Android are trying to do the same thing. Okay, so the Android is starting to try to take advantage of generative AI, which is the next phase, where your app is really super intelligent and can listen and very quickly pull from an index that's being saved on your phone. So your phone that has a built-in AI. And so this is where the Apple intelligence is. And so this is kind of the rollout. So right now we're at iOS 26. Yeah, it's making more money, but also you got to understand, if you have an Android, the same thing can happen because of what's happening with these apps. Now, this slide here is the market share. I just wanted to show you guys, really, if you look at the global world market share of mobile phones, you got 72% of the world is using Android and about 27% are using Apple. Okay, so that covers a large area. And then you're looking at the regional differences with the United States. It's about a 60-40 swing when you're talking about market share. And this is just me understanding, okay, we have this stuff on our phones, we have this stuff on our apps. What are the apps that are going to come out? What are you looking at for different platforms? Because they work similar, but not exactly the same. But one thing that's very similar about them is it's all about the money. Okay, so it's trying to keep your attention. And this is a regional analysis. If you look, you see in North America, it's about 60-40. Asia, you see kind of a visual representation of what that means. And so in this age, yeah, it's more about personalization and automation, just making it more money for you to spend time on your app, but also manipulating people who really are not mature enough or brains haven't developed. And this is what I'm talking about here. You're talking about your app, but your app able to go in and access your location, contacts, calendars, reminders, but do it in a way that is unique to what you're doing, or being able to tell your phone, hey, do this and go on the app, change the location, send an email, okay, or connect to the microphone at this time or not, and having the app do it automatically, the AI turn it on or off. And this is called Project Astra, and you can look it up. Okay, this is something that they're working on, the Android platform, which is similar to Apple Intelligence, but it all uses something called generative AI on your device. And so if you have an iPhone, basically this area as well, the app, you can have it do reminders, calendars, speech recognition, access your camera. And this is what they have for Apple. So this is the playground that has been created to take advantage of Apple intelligence. So you would use Xcode, program an app, and actually have its own on-device AI to do whatever you want it to do. So this is kind of the new frontier when you're talking about the Apple ecosystem. It is more secure, but you still got to understand, you know, what's occurring with your app. Any questions on that one?
Brotherhood, it looked like.
Yes, sir.
Is this the new crack epidemic?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. That's one way of looking at it. Yes, yes, it is. If you really think about it that way, but it's happening in such a way that you can kind of see it already happening with some of these addictions, with the loops, addictive loops of scrolling and mindless, endless scrolling. But when you have a younger generation where their brains aren't developed, then you have different types of behavior, different types of things that's happening. I mean, think about TikTok, because that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a dive here in the next couple of slides coming up. I'm really showing you guys how TikTok became so popular. Because it started out with a Chinese app that still is in existence. And they're using a psychological model to actually get you hooked on the crack. That's what it is. That's what it is. So, yeah.
Brother, listen, as far as that TikTok is concerned, there was a suit not too long ago where the United States were talking about just eliminating access to TikTok for American citizens altogether. But they were talking about content that wasn't even legal to show the children in China, but they're showing the children here. Do you know anything about that?
I certainly do. I'm glad you mentioned it. To be honest with you, if you really look at it, in my research, my 15 years doing this, in some circles and in some ways, I think you can say this is a form of cyber weapon. Because think about it. The different behaviors, suicide, choking, degenerate behavior is something that is learned through these apps. And so if you're sending the wrong kind of content over time, then you're going to have kids exerting those kind of behaviors. Okay. A lot of it is, it's a serious thing. And as I go through these slides, you're going to see what I'm talking about here, because it's a transformation that's happening. That's really what it is. It is a real transformation. And this transformation is what I'm talking about. We need more regulation on ethics. And if you really look at it across the board in Europe, they have more filters and restrictions than we do. It's like an open season out here. They've been trying to get rid of TikTok. Now, since then, they've had some things in there, but there still is a lot of harmful content that should not be on there, but that a lot of kids are exposed to. So we have to rethink the workflows, the models of technology, because really it's all about the strategy, not just the tools. And so sometimes you could say, okay, yeah, well, TikTok has this other kind of information. Yeah, well, it has this kind of information too, and there's no real filter to block it because it is causing a lot of harm. And as you'll see in these upcoming slides, I'm going to go a little bit more into that about what these terms are and how to recognize it. Because if you're just a business looking at the bottom part of this slide, you just need to develop systems that you can scale and keep operational costs low. But you've got to understand, if you're a consumer, a parent, or a caregiver, how important it is now to keep updated on these things and how they impact your students and the safety protocols emerging. Because when you look at companies, if you want to build something and you want to do something in this space, then you're going to have filters, safety for fewer lawsuits, okay? And you're going to have to adhere to a certain policy. And that's what we need to do. And all these lawsuits are starting to happen. You have just recently, I think about 7 days ago, Disney and Universal suing this company called Midjourney because they're using their AI. They're training their stuff on their AI. And you can look all of this stuff up. It's all current. And so a big decision that has come down that we're still waiting on is if chatbots are products, the courts are delving into whether they qualify as products, which affects the negligence and a product liability claim. In the Florida case, the judge ruled it could be treated as a product and refused to dismiss that it's just, you know, just a product and no liability. Courts are pushing back on developers claiming free speech immunity, suggesting that outputs may carry liability. So we have child safety, regulatory precedents, all this stuff is happening now, but it's kind of under the radar. The media doesn't really talk about it unless you're really in the kind of developer space or you deal with technology. But there is a lot that's coming on board about mental health. And here's an example of some of these apps. And I just kind of looked at Japan, China a little bit, and some of these apps as a comparison. And the comparison is apps in Asia, apps in the USA. So if you look at the first one, and because the reason why I chose Japan, because Japan to me is almost like an experiment, because the people are not giving birth. People are not getting married. There's a lot of chat bots. People are having virtual relationships, and there's a lot of stuff that's impacting society in Japan. And what are the most popular apps? Here they are. You got emotional engagement, avatars, customization, realism, like really thinking that you're talking to a person. And so if you look in Replica, Kindroid, Wisa, some of these are CBT-based mental health apps, okay, that are really, really taking advantage of people who, you know, may really not understand what's going to be happening with some of this, the style that the AI experience is giving you.
Brotherhood.
What's up?
Question.
Yes.
People are having relationships with chat boxes?
Yes, they are. You can look it up. There's people who are having definitely virtual girlfriends and boyfriends with these AIs.
Oh my God.
And what's happening, and what's happening is some of these are actually so addicting and so manipulating that you have some kids sending nudes of themselves to these AI chatbots because they feel they're so real. Now, listen, this is what I wanted to talk about. This is the breakdown right here. So look, this is a breakdown between generations. We're talking about currently, right now, we got Gen Z. If you were born between 1997 and 2012, you're considered Gen Z. Gen Alpha, you're looking at 0 to 12 years old. And so what's occurring between these two types of generations? Well, if you look at it, if you're between the ages of 13 and 28, according to my research, you know, some of this you can look at and kind of just kind of feed off of it and what you want. But look, technology exposure, a lot of these kids grew up with smartphones and social media. And I'm looking at Gen Z right now. First device was a smartphone. Okay. Preferred platforms are TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and other ones that I mentioned. And how do they learn? Well, we all know if you're an educator, you went through the COVID era, online learning, hybrid models. It's a little bit different. Social behavior. A lot of Gen Z, they're looking at authenticity, digital communities. Okay. And then if you're looking at Gen Alpha, it's more highly visual, interactive, short attention spans. Okay. And I'm not doing this just to be disrespectful, but definitely you really want to look at what's emerging and the economic influence. A lot of these Gen Z, they're an emerging workforce and they are trendsetters that are being followed. But you have to understand with Gen Alpha, you can have that age group really influencing family spending. I mean, they're younger, right? But you look at the digital the fluency. If a Gen Z, you're a digital native. You know how to use these devices. You've had them since you've been born. Well, this Gen Alpha generation, they're going to be the AI native, meaning that they're going to definitely understand how to use these AIs in manipulative ways that can be harmful. And I have seen this, okay? Students using these apps in a very harmful way that's causing a lot of problems for them. The core concerns for me, and I'm looking at Gen Z, is mental health, climate, and identity. What's your identity? Okay. Also, safety for the Gen Alpha, the screen time. What kind of parental controls are in place? Now, the bottom row is a cultural icon. Now, this is anecdotal. You can look at it how you want. It just depends on your demographic. But overall, I think this list kind of illustrates the different generations and kind of their exposure to some of these types of platforms. All right, now this one, I had a slide here, but so the slide that I couldn't show you just now was about Douyin. What is Douyin? Douyin, or Douyin, is the name of a China-based TikTok platform. And you can Google it.
It'll do you in.
Now, let me tell you what Douyin also is. It's also the name of the algorithm, and they're using, so read this. It says, Douyin's algorithm recommends content. It's a content recommending algorithm, and they're using a psychological model called the Johari window. The Johari window and a scoring formula. So this is their formula. This is a mathematical formula that they score in real time. Now, the thing is that I'm noticing about these apps, when you look at in the Asian world, a lot of these apps are doing the score in real time, every second, every minute. And then when you're looking at more of the American-based apps that are in this space, it's more like a weekly, daily thing. But if you really look at it, it's based on, if you look at this slide here, you're looking at hot tag, how popular the topic is. And then you have the relative tag, how relevant the topic is to the user. And then the frequency tag, how often the topic has been seen. Yes.
What is algorithm?
Algorithm is basically a list of steps to do something. That's all an algorithm is. It's a list of steps on how to do something. And so this algorithm that you're looking at is a list of steps of how to recommend content to you, the user. This is broken down to the patent. This is the patent that is being used that is causing TikTok to be so addictive and its sister app, which is Douyin. And so this is a real breakdown of how this works. And if you're a psychologist or you study psychology, you can go and research what the Johari window is. And that's what they're using to do this.
But my brotherhood on TikTok, all you got is a bunch of people shaking their butt, most of it, and a few advertisements, and every now and then a political statement. But for the most part, it's just people dancing, and at least when I look at it, people just dancing, shaking their butts and stuff, especially the women.
Definitely. Yeah, it is. But if you have to look at it from a different perspective of age groups and some of the content that they're doing, you know, but there's other content that you don't really see on your feed because you're not on that feed. So your feed may look different than somebody else's. Okay. That's kind of what I'm explaining, basically on the content and how the algorithm works. And so this slide right here, but great point, Professor Ra. It is, your algorithm is going to feed you certain content, but it's going to be based on your friends, your followers, your neighbors, what you looked at. So basically your feed is going to look different than somebody who's 16 years old. Mm-hmm. You follow me?
Yes.
And so now when it comes to understanding how this works, you can create your own AI platform. But one of the things that you got to understand is you have different way of giving attribute or associating attributes to how digital media is presented to a person or to a user. So you got to come up with your own algorithm. And so there are lawsuits. And so I think TikTok is being sued now by this other company that does similar things. So that's one of the things. So I'm speaking more to developers on this side of things. There's all kind of ways that you could recommend something to a user. But some of the ones that we're seeing now are very, very powerful using AI. And so for me, what I would say is, if you're trying to go down this road, you want to learn about developing your own app or understand how all this stuff works, think of these big four development methods. Think of addictive design, where they have variable rewards, comments, viral boost. There's something called the Skinner box principle from behavioral psychology. You can utilize that. That's what they're doing now. Infinite scrolling and delayed discounting, infinite feed design. So hijacking your attention. So what it's doing is, there may just be videos that are just dancing, but they're actually hijacking your attention, minimizing friction, giving constant user experience. Okay. And you can become immersed in that. Okay. Confirmation bias. That's another term. Negativity bias. Okay. This is when you have kids who are in a vacuum and they don't really know anything other than what they're seeing on their feeds. So psychographic profiling, because they don't really watch the news. They don't really, you know, get information from other places. So these are some of the things that happen. Exploitation of adolescent development. Number four, let's talk about this one. Teens are more susceptible to social feedback loops to brain development. So your prefrontal cortex, reasoning, long-term planning is still maturing. The amygdala, emotions dominate decision-making. Apps are intentionally designed to amplify peer validation. That's what's causing problems, the fear of missing out. So this part of it, you can really program this to be hyper social, overly social, where the kids are basically immersed in this. So steps that you can do. So if you're a parent, caregiver, somebody, educator, you just want to have this conversation, just understand, recognize how they work. Ask yourself, why am I seeing this? Use not interested report. Report your algorithm. Monitor your patterns. If you're feeling anxious, you know kids who are anxious, insecure, angry, sad, scrolling, stop and reflect. Schedule breaks. Use screen time apps. Device limits. And it's not just teens. You have adults who just endlessly scroll. I mean, I've had students tell me, what do you do in your free time? You do anything else productive? Honestly, I just like to scroll. And you literally scrolling for hours in a day, every day. So disable personalization where possible. So this, by having your stuff personalized, you're actually basically giving the app the space where you should be thinking in, because it's actually feeding you. I mean, you know what you like, but there can come a point to where it's really showing you everything that you should be thinking in and using your own thoughts. because over time it develops a whole profile for you. And so you can also watch the movie called Social Dilemma. Great video documentary about this topic. Common Sense Media. Now, I would say with educators, parents, people, what I would do is just talk to your, you know, people about it. Discuss online behavior. Enable youth modes, app timers. Teach youth how to read the terms of service. Recognize persuasive design. Be a non-judgmental digital mentor. Just say, hey, you know, let's look at this. Let's go through your feed and just kind of analyze it. When the last time you've done something like that? And really go through that, because over time it can really cause problems and break the infinite scroll loop, which a lot of the youth are stuck in. You got to log out, put your phone in grayscale mode. The colors can cause an effect. Put it in grayscale mode, use browser extension to block the time limit. And it's kind of to reduce impulse, where kids don't have no impulse control. Look at the privacy settings. Don't give your app and camera mic access. Delete and reinstall apps. Understand how facial data work. Now, this slide here is just an interactive analysis. You could click this with your phone, and it's going to break down some of the same topics I just talked about. So I wanted to show you guys that one there. And also, this is a Kahoot. If you want a code for the Kahoot, I got a little quiz on this. This slide here is something that has come out for research. So literally, Google Gemini, OpenAI, and the Grok AI platform has a research platform. It works really good. It has a lot of good information. So like if you're trying to do a research paper, journal, or different things, it has some really good stuff that it has been done. And I definitely recommend you guys look at that if you're trying to compare large bits of knowledge and data.
And Brother Hood, do you download the app for Google Gemini Deep Research?
You don't download anything. You just go to the website. Just go to the website. I'll pull it up here. Okay. I'll pull it up here. Let me show you. Google Deep Research. Let me pull this up real quick. It's basically having your own personal research assistant.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it is. And so what I would do is ask Gemini, I'll say, think of a topic along what we're doing is, what are the most common apps for teens ages 13 to 17. Let's just see what it comes up here. Now it's an AI, but it's a research-based AI. So it's going to look up stuff. It's going to actually put things in a more academic way. You could tell it to start research, to create a report. So I'm going to start research, and it's actually going to pull from different places. It's going to give you how it's thinking, what it's thinking about, the understanding team app usage. It's going to break down the different websites that you're looking at. Okay. And it's going to tell you every decision that it's making, how it made it and why it made it. And then you can kind of massage this and come up with something that, you know, that you can use or give you a starting point for whatever topic it is. Anybody want to try one? I'll do one right now. Any topic you want me to throw in, I can try something right now if you want. And so I would say,
what's a woman?
That's a good one. What? That's good. What is a woman? Let's see what it say. That's funny. Yes, cancel this one and then we'll do another one. Let's see here. Let's see what it comes back with. Now, remember, this is Gemini, which is the Google platform. And then you have Grok, which is basically Elon Musk's platform. And then you have the other one. But let's see what it says here. Defining a woman. Let's see what it says here. This will be interesting. Okay. Initial focus of building foundation of time initially focused on three areas: biological, genetic, anatomy, and physiology. Okay. Parallel. So it says, next step, I'm currently performing parallel searches to gather information on the biological, social, and legal aspects of what defines that. Interesting. So I could sit here and massage this for a little bit and come up with a whole report based on this. And then it would scan. So basically what this is doing is feeding, is scanning different websites and coming up with its own version of what these things mean. And so this is something that is fairly new when you're talking about deep research, but so I would definitely, if you want to mess around with it, this is definitely a good resource. Okay, so it's going to break down the three definitions. So it has understanding the biological. I started to synthesize information on biological. I learned the biological is a complex construct encompassing anatomy. So it's giving you like the textbook, and then exploring sociological that says reveals different socially constructed characters. So gender is socially constructed and behaviors associated with women. These are not fixed, but very societies evolve over time. So yeah, you can make a debate. So let's see this. Let's see what else. I mean, we can go pretty further with this. Let's see here. My refining research path. While this is a solid foundation, I'm identifying areas for deeper exploration involving more focused investigation and feminist theory. So it goes into a real broad scholastic way of doing it. Now, I'm not trying to say, okay, jump on this and become a scholastic parrot. You know what I mean? You got to use your own thinking and your own analysis of what's occurring. I mean, we know that's the part. So it's like the space that you're supposed to think in, you're still supposed to think in and not have it do everything for you. It's just a tool. It's just a resource. That's why you shouldn't, you know, just grab this and go with it. You got to really check. And there is a difference between, you know, like a paid version of something and a free version. And you can feed these AIs your own thought processes or how you want to give it. You know, I could literally write a whole research paper on a topic and just feed it in here and have it regurgitate, you know, my own analysis in a different way. So it's a really powerful tool if you're really trying to save yourself time. I mean, it's not like the old days where you had to go to the library, pull up all these encyclopedias and study the index, you know what I mean? And so it's kind of one of those tools, and you see it's synthesizing, it can continue, and you see how the language is written. So it's not written from a seventh grade level when you're talking about these research platforms. It's written from an academia journal way, okay? Finalizing
so
research.
No, so no way yeah. It's going to present itself like Donald Trump.
No. I mean, it's going to have its own. It's going to have its own stuff based on what it's finding. It's going to develop a. You know. It's going to synthesize it, and it's going to develop its own idea of what it understands. But
it's talking on a high level.
Yes, it is. It is.
It's not coming to you like I'm a fourth grader.
Right. Exactly. It's definitely a higher. I'd say definitely college level reading level. I'll say maybe, you know, at least 11th grade and up, you know, definitely.
So you think this is going to have something to do with the development of some of these young people's minds?
Oh, totally.
As far as making them a little more putting them on a higher level than what they are as far as academically now is what they consider to be at, like on academic levels. Is this going to make them communicate better? Is this going to make them be able to understand and articulate what was presented to them and their feelings about that?
Yes. Yes, it definitely could. Now, I was going to say this, though, about some of these apps. When you talk about communication, it just depends on what type of communication they're being fed. So if they're constantly just, you know, consuming entertainment, you know, and they're not involved in a different area, then their communication style is going to be a little different. But this what I'm showing you here with Gemini is more or less just for research. So you see how it broke it down? Can you see the screen now? It just changed.
I mean, yes, but even with that, they're not gonna be talking to them like in the hood and what they would.
Oh yeah, exactly.
You know
exactly.
What I'm saying? They're gonna have to be able to communicate with the machine.
Exactly. And you see how it's written. It's written from an intellectual perspective. It's written from an analytical perspective. It's written from a research journal perspective. So it's not written in a lower standard of English. You're definitely right. If that's what you meant. Definitely.
Right. That's exactly what I'm saying. They're going to have to get with the program.
Yeah.
And potentially they could speak better, communicate better, and be able to analyze a little bit better.
Definitely. And knowing how to write for an academic style, because it's definitely different. So this is definitely going to allow them to understand that and how language works, because it's really complicated. And that's part of it. You know, understanding all the nuances of language first, and then understand how that language can affect you mentally and socially through these apps, because you're just constantly immersed, but you're immersed in something that is leading to a degenerate type of social behavior. You know what I'm saying? And so over time, we're starting to see some of this in students who just don't know how, very short attention spans, or don't know how to disengage from the device to focus, the lack of focus, because it's about scrolling versus enrichment and understanding what you need to learn. So yeah, definitely. I would say that was a good point on this, because it's definitely going to step up your pool of vocabulary.
Okay. Well, yeah. I have one more question, and I'll yes. be done. I know you're yes, tired yes. of hearing me.
But no, not at all, man. Go ahead.
As far as the young people are concerned, I lost my train of thought. I'll come back to it.
Ask AI.
Okay, I'll come back to it.
Okay. Yeah, that's a great point. I think that because there's so many different ways that AI can help you learn things, it's just a matter of getting younger students being able to understand this and take advantage and harness the tools that they can use, because there's a lot of them out there that really are really helpful. And if you really look at it, it's just about spending time. You know, here's a slide here I wanted to show. This is a pretty good website I was looking at when I was doing some research for this. This is called Smart Social. It's 170 popular apps for parents and teachers need to know. And it literally goes through and breaks down where these apps are coming from, their ratings. Some of these are common apps that we use every day. Some of them not so much. And it gives a really good rating, because a lot of kids are following different trends and using different apps for different things. And then there's some that are popping on the radar that nobody had really known, because it's a border, but when it comes to the internet, anybody can download any one of these apps. And so if you look at these apps and you look at, okay, well, if this app has adult content and then your 12-year-old is using, what are they being exposed to? Okay. And then what type of AI are they using? So you just got to understand and be aware of it. And then if you're kind of trying to into the market with your own app, you got to see what's out there. You know, you got to see what's happening. I have a student now that just, he's working on the app with another person. They built an AI app about immigration. And I thought that was pretty smart of him to do it. And, you know, he wasn't sure what's out there. It was nothing else out there like it. And he did it, and he's working on it, and he's trying to put it in the Android store. But there's a lot of different things that you can do, and a lot of different tools that this AI stuff gives you, but you have to spend the time and just understand how they work. And then if you're just somebody who casually uses them, you know, you just got to understand how they work, so you can be more aware and share that with your kids or students or whatnot, because it's really important. Like the screen time one and how that works. A lot of people just kind of waste time scrolling, you know, and really setting themselves up for different types of things that the app could be doing. Okay. Like, you know, so I would say the key takeaway for me would be you know, all these apps now are using behavior psychology. You got to understand how to push back. Everybody's pushing back, broader restrictions. But I'm really curious. I'm going to watch. I'm going to watch what happens with this case in Florida to see how it plays out, because it's really interesting, this case. And, you know, because for years, all they do is just, you know, a lot of these apps are, you know, they don't have any liability in the game. But if it's a product, then you have product liability issues. So with that, I just wanted to conclude the presentation. I wanted to appreciate.
I want to add your perspective on something.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, we are already concerned about our children's social and interpersonal skills with their contemporaries. But I can't really speak intelligently on it, because whenever I'm around them, they seem to be integrating just fine.
Right.
But now here we are going to a more deeper and profound level with artificial intelligence.
Yes.
And can you give me what you think the next 20 years is going to do for our younger generations, or the next generation's interpersonal skills, ability to deal with each other in person, personal relationships, as far as the boys and how are they going, because they're already meeting each other on the internet, filling out forms. Where do you see this heading for our young people, socially speaking?
I think it's headed in a very bad place. And I'll be honest with you on that. And the reason why I say that is, and that's part of the reason why I wanted to do this, is because I think that the growing concern for me is that the AIs are getting more intelligent. They're getting, because of generative AI, they're able to, okay, look at the user of this phone and start to assess what types of things to display or show you. And I think that the problem is with the younger generations, particularly Gen Alpha, they're already, they believe that, you know, they trust the AIs more, that it's going to be moral, that it's going to be okay to use, you know what I mean? And it's not a real human. So these AIs are so good at tricking you into believing that they're human, because that's all the kids have ever known, then it's going to, you have a lot more exploitation. And so I think now is the time for us to really bring that home and understand that this is impacting our youth. It really is. And so before I go, I wanted to show you one little video, because it's coming up, but then again, it's not really coming up. But it recently, I watched the WDC 2025 at Apple, and they had the chief software architect there. And the guy asked him a question about this, and his answer was kind of interesting. And so I wanted to talk about that, but that's what I feel. I feel that that needs to be some type of intervention and more regulatory stuff going on for that, but it is problematic. And now is the time to really understand how fast these things are operating and how smart they really are. Let's see if I can find a video. Let me show you the video here real quick. Let me pull it up. I got it over here on the laptop. Yeah, it was pretty interesting, this clip. So the guy's name is Craig Federici, and fair use. This is fair use. This is from a Worldwide Developers Conference recently. And I thought it was interesting, so I want to share this one to you. Quick here.
Actors, we can make you believe we know what we're doing, when in fact we do not. Whoops.
It wasn't a start over. The V1 architecture was sort of half of the V2 architecture, and now we extend it across, sort of make it a pure a pure architecture that extends across the entire Siri experience. And so we've been very much building on what we had been building for V1, but now extending it more completely, and that more homogeneous end-to-end architecture gives us much higher quality and much better capability. And so that's what we're building now.
I wanted to move on to the Apple Intelligence features that were announced today,
yeah,
because there was a lot. But before we do, I just want to get your quick opinion. There are standalone, I think one of the more popular apps out there is like basically voice chatting with AI.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to get your guys' opinion, because it is divided out there in terms of, are we talking to AI too much? But there's also pretty robust functionality. Some people are even using it like as a stand-in for a therapist in certain cases,
right,
especially for younger ages. No, seriously.
Yeah, like, yeah,
so,
for sure.
You know, there's a comfort level there, but also there's caution too. But it is very robust in terms of what it can do. But what's your overall opinion of those types of applications for AI?
Well, I think, you know, just stepping back, mm-hmm, I mean, AI is transformational technology. This wave of large language models and all that's growing out of this architecture is going to have a, you know, decades-long arc of impact across the industry and the economy, and much like the internet, mm-hmm, much like mobility, and it's going to touch Apple's products. It's going to touch experiences that are well outside of Apple's products, right? Mm-hmm. And so, but Apple's job is to figure out the right experiences that make sense in the context of what we offer to customers, and to make that technology safe and intelligible and understandable, accessible to a broad audience,
mm-hmm,
right? That's what we've done with so many technologies before. So there will be all kinds of other things,
mm-hmm,
you know, some of them just, you know, delightful and wonderful, and some of them probably, you know, scary, that will come out of this technology. And Apple,
you see what I mean? So it's pretty deep. It's pretty deep. So I just wanted to share that with you guys. And he just kind of talks a little bit about it, about, mm-hmm, that. So I'm going to conclude. So yeah, there's a lot.
Brotherhood,
yes.
Omari, yes. Did you have any comment? Because you were talking about AI earlier today.
Yeah, no, this is very enlightening. You know, in my use of AI, I don't deal with any students or youth. I had no idea that these apps were existing, even though I know the potential of exist. I use AI as a tool to do specific tasks. And one of them I was sharing with Professor Raw earlier today. A friend of mine wrote a series of 20 blogs that documented atrocities that have been committed against Black folks since slavery. So I took each one of those blogs and ingested it into ChatGPT and ask it to come up with solutions for each one of them for reparations. And it kind of broke down, you know, mm-hmm, based on the atrocity and the impact of it. It kind of broke it down, and, you know, even tracing people to get in touch with them to have the conversation about moving forward, what type of property damage was lost, what compensation should occur for that, emotional damage, what type of treatments should these families be engaging moving forward, even though generations have, you know, existed. So that was one use that I use AI for. I've also built chatbots. I started working with AI in 2015 with IBM Watson. We were the first team that commercialized the use for IBM Watson. We modernized the regulatory process for the federal government. So this was a very enlightening presentation. I took notes. I'm going to do my due diligence and research and look into some of this stuff and even see if there's some opportunities there.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. There are definitely some opportunities there. And it's funny you mentioned this. I want to show you guys something. I got, when you mentioned atrocities, I don't know if you guys know this, the mayor of Tulsa, he released all of the the minutes of the city minutes and of all the Greenwood massacre. And so I have a cousin that's an attorney. And so I started looking at some of this data. Maybe we can kind of maybe do a show on this one day and just kind of look at all this data and see how we can analyze it, because it actually shows what kind of was happening with some of this stuff. And I'm gonna see if I can find it real quick. I just want to show you guys this. It's really interesting because it has all of the minutes from these meetings back from 1921 all the way up to 1934. And so my initial assessment, I haven't done any AI analysis on it, but I think we need to get this data, bring it down and archive it and store it and really start doing an analysis on it. This is what they have been trying to get for years. And this mayor finally released it. Let me see if I can pull this up real quick, if they haven't taken it down. It's pretty interesting, though, because you just made me think of that, and I was going to talk about that in a future thing, but I'm going to see if I can pull it up.
Well, I'd like to have you and Greg on.
Okay.
When you bring those blogs. And
yeah.
You bring up the Tulsa, maybe not this coming Tuesday, but the next.
Okay.
Because I'm going to lecture next Tuesday on this war between Iran and the United States. They act like it's between Israel, but it's the United States. So, but not this Tuesday, but the following Tuesday, if you're available. Both of y'all talk about using AI to do research on Black culture, but specifically on the atrocities. And include what Black people response was, you know. Like in Tulsa, they talk about the massacre, but they never mention about the Black soldiers that killed a lot of white people in defending that massacre. They don't want you to have no victory. You see what I'm saying? They don't Custer got beat by Sitting Bull. They don't say Sitting Bull outmaneuvered their number one general. They say Custer's last stand. They ain't gonna give Sitting Bull no credit for that. Nothing. So that's why I want. So not this Tuesday, but the following Tuesday.
Okay, let me see if it pulls up though. Let me show you something. But I'm trying to get this information real quick. Okay, I think it's gonna download. Let's see if the link works.
Yeah, don't let it get away from us.
Yeah, let's see if the link still works. Okay, the link's still here. Okay, good. So let me share my screen real quick. I got to show you guys this, because he brought it to me right now, and I definitely got to show you guys this. All right, so can you guys see this?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is what they have been trying to get for years. And this is what the lawyer has been, the guy who was a lead plaintiff trying to get the Tulsa reparations. Now look at this. These are records compiled from hundreds of hours of city research by the city clerk in response to the open records request. Now look at this. It goes from 1921, 1922, 23, 1908. And it's just kind of showing you some of the stuff that was occurring with the property, the urban development, urban renewal. Now, this is important. I want to read this stuff because there was a lot of stuff that happened here with theft. But even here with the land, so let's start at 1922. Well, let's look at minutes to 21, the date, the year that it happened. If you look at this, it's going to break down different organizations, different groups, and it's showing you, you know, what's happening. It's doing roll call. It's talking about hearings, street improvements. And then what I noticed by looking at some of this stuff is there's people and organizations coming in and basically just buying up property that was still damaged. You mean, I'm talking about buying lots of property, spending, because I think this is May 31st, 1921. So these are like people who kind of like positioning to get the land, putting up like $5,000, $25,000. Now in 1921, $25,000 was a lot of money. And so as I started going through this, I started realizing there's a lot of stuff here. There's a lot of information. So I'm trying to like make sure I have a good analysis of this, and people are going through it, but I know that there's a lot of stuff here. So
we're going to go over it.
Yeah, it's a lot in this. So But you know, it's just something to really look at. You can go through this, and it goes all the way up to, let's see, it starts from,
Look like 1936.
yeah, it goes up, and then so it has a lot of stuff in here. So you can kind of look at this, deeds that were bought and sold. But I really want to look at this part because I heard, you know, just growing up, I remember hearing about some of the stuff during this era, 50 to 19, in the 50s, a lot of stuff was being done and really just kind of, you know, making it harder for people. So yeah. So I just wanted to show that. So this is definitely something we all need to pull and get this information before it disappears, because this is,
What website is that?
it's the city of Tulsa. Here, I'll put it in the chat. Yeah, let me put it in the chat. It's the city of Tulsa website. Let me copy it. It's the 1921 Race Massacre Open Records Files. These have been kept hidden for years, and it's only since we had a new they had a, they got a new black mayor in Tulsa that he released this stuff. So we can go through it, check it out. I don't know, and maybe find some stuff in here. But let me put this in the chat so you guys can have it. You guys can download this right now. Let me go to chat and just post this right here. There you go. So yeah, you can go ahead and download that. And a lot of good stuff in there, just to see, kind of get a from a research perspective and understanding the area. But yeah, I appreciate the time today. I appreciate everything, and hopefully this is informative. And I'm looking forward to anybody else. You can also just reach out to me on the website, Mr. L Hood, or Mr. L Hood at Gmail. Also, lhood@comptonusd.net. I also, you know, do workshops. I do some work for Los Angeles Community College District as well, doing some app stuff with teaching, you know, people how to make apps and things, and computer science. But definitely, I appreciate the time, Professor Ra,
All right.
and looking forward to the next one.
All right. I'll be in contact.
Okay.
Brother Rasha Key tomorrow.
Let me
Rasha Key,
show.
yeah.
Let me show you. So we're gonna have at least two high school students. Well, guys that just graduated from high school. They were top 10 students in their class, and they won two state championships for basketball. That's Jaden Williams and Landry Ballard. And we may have the coach and a few other players also, but we'll get a chance to talk to them. And it's just an extraordinary story to hear what these guys have done. And they were even ranked number one nationally as kids. So they were, and they're excellent students. So we're going to get a chance to talk to them tomorrow. And so that's what we have
All
on the
right.
TV show.
Okay. Again, we want to thank everybody for showing up. Brother Ernest McBride, archivist for the Ernest McBride Senior Legacy, as well as Brother Mashinda out of Louisiana, Brother Omari Bakari out of Englewood, a deep thinker, journalist, as well as published the first one of the first Black Compton News, well, one of the Compton newspapers, as well as a lot of his work. He's worked with various people on their campaigns and on strategies, political strategies. Definitely helped me and mine. So we'll see y'all tomorrow, hopefully. And then next Tuesday, I'll be lecturing, discussing the war in Iran and why it's important to us as Black people, and what really is going on behind the scenes. And we're also going to talk about briefly the history of Juneteenth, how they try to say that General Garland walked in and to tell Black people that slavery was over, when he really walked in to tell white people to quit enslaving Black people. Because they wouldn't stop, but they traded around, changed it around, like we didn't know we were free. So we're going to get into that right briefly, but we're going to definitely get into the war and these illegal deportations. ICE, I need to be put on ICE. All right, we'll be with you.
All right.
All right.
Each one teach one in conscious corners. Thanks for attending, everybody.
All right.
All right, take care.